Welcome back to Path to Glory, the Warhammer Underworlds podcast that focuses on competitive gaming, player development, and community growth. This episode was made possible by our patrons. Thanks to everyone who supports us. If you're interested in supporting the podcast monetarily, please check us out at patreon.com/pathtoglory. If that's not possible, we still appreciate the listen and the ratings. This is Amon Kusro, and as always, I am joined by my co-host, Jonathan Davis.
Hello, hello, hello.
What's up?
Not much. I am full of Thai food and ready to do some podcasting.
Are we getting spicy, Jonathan, today?
Maybe.
Spicy Thai Jonathan.
Rawr.
It's a wild combination.
How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. Did you have a good, I guess, Easter weekend for you?
Yeah, we did. My family is vegetarian, and so we went to a vegetarian kind of, I don't know if it's Indian or, but like some sort of Middle Eastern kind of curry restaurant. So It was good. It was good though.
Those are two very distinct cultures and
well, they had,
cuisines.
They had a lot of curry and a lot of like Indian-esque stuff on the walls, and there was like meditating going on upstairs. So I think it was all of the above when it comes to stuff there. They had hummus. I don't know if hummus is an Indian thing, you know.
Honestly, that just upsets me, but okay.
I don't know.
Yeah.
The food was good, though.
So. That's good. I'm glad you enjoyed the melting pot of brown stuff.
Something like that.
Yeah. Yep. Well, cool. Well, for those who didn't know, I'm Indian, so that is probably why I'm being a little picky there, but that's okay. My weekend was good. We had a fun event that we played in, we'll talk about in a bit. Mm-hmm. And very surprised by all the stuff that was announced yesterday. So I guess we'll go ahead and jump right into that.
Yeah. So
in today's episode, we will be covering recent game news, upcoming product launches, and listener questions. Look forward to more episodes later this week as we review the new products that will be up for pre-order. And I guess right before we jump into exactly what is on pre-order, because I feel like there's been some misconceptions here, let's just start with some shout-outs. So, Jonathan, we got some new patrons. Do you want to go ahead and give them a quick shout?
Yeah, we did. Our newest patrons are Dylan, Nick, and Sergio. I really appreciate the support. I may have said Dylan the last time, but if not, thanks. And if I did, then thanks again.
Yeah. Dylan, you get two thumbs up.
Right.
Yeah. And we also had a recent contest that was patrons only. The winner received a copy of the Starblood Stalkers, which was the newest warband to grace the Dire Chasm. And this is, so for those of you who are unfamiliar, pretty much you had to come up with the best dinosaur joke. You get bonus points if it was Underworlds related. And so congrats to Compaq for winning. And his joke was, why does Thundrick buy his guns from the Carnosaur? Well, it's because he's a small arms dealer. Fantastic.
Very, very nice. The perfect finish to our dinosaur jokes from the last couple episodes.
Yeah. Now we're going to start vampire puns soon, so be ready.
Uh-oh.
It's going to be fantastic.
I really don't know how you do that, but
yeah, well, you know,
it's wonderful. My brain does not work like that at all.
it's a little bit of spending a lot of time while on the Stairmaster thinking about jokes, so
okay,
yeah, Stairmaster kicked my butt today. Okay, so we love doing these contests for our supporters, so our next contest will be undead themed for the release of the vampires. So for our patrons, send us a picture of an undead Warhammer miniature that you have painted. Again, it must be part of Grand Alliance Death, and we will pick our favorite as the winner. Just one miniature. You don't have to do a whole warband or a whole army. And we'll pick our favorite, and we're going to go ahead and get you a copy of the Crimson Court, which is coming out this weekend. And Jonathan and I will share more details on the Patreon as well as our Discord.
Yeah, there'll be a form you can fill out and everything. So, very cool.
Yep.
The next thing we have is that we both played in the recent Straight Out of Shadespire CAM event. And Aman won this time with Wild Hunt.
Back to back, baby.
Yeah, very cool. You can find, I think all of our games were streamed. I streamed all of mine. And then also John Reese and the Agents of Sigmar guys were doing streams as well. And they caught, I think they caught three of your games, and then we ended up playing on my stream. So that was cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I got really lucky that all eight of our games are technically seven, are on three different platforms. So shout out to Val, who organized the event. He's one of our patrons, and he's really funny. He cracks a lot of jokes during these events. It's great. Yeah. And John Reese for Can You Roll a Crit for streaming, and then the Agents of Sigmar, of course, they're awesome as well. And then, you know, Path to Glory did a little bit of streaming too via John. So.
Yeah, I think I know at least my last one, which was probably my most interesting game, was on the Age of Sigmar as well. So I'm sure their commentary is interesting. I'll probably listen to that one at some point.
Yeah, I always go back like the next day and or mm-hmm. maybe even later that day and just like put it on like 1.5 or 2x speed and then just listen to like look for any misplays that I may have made. And then like kind of hear, you know, what John or what the agents were thinking that I was going to do. And that actually gives you additional insight, because whether they're right or you're right or vice versa, mm-hmm. it still gives you the other avenue of like, oh, this is what my opponent could have been thinking that I was trying to accomplish as well. So I highly recommend that if you were lucky enough to get any of your games on any of the three platforms that we're streaming, definitely go back and watch them, because you're going to learn a lot. And I picked up a couple, you know, things that I could have done better. There was this epic misplay I made in the first round where I thought I had the last activation, but actually Clacktroc did. With Val. So I was like, oh, YOLO, charge Legaine into Clacktroc, because why not? I'll just try to inspire him and then maybe, you know, get some damage or distract Clacktroc or whatever. And Val was like, oh, okay, you want to charge? I was like, yeah, you know, why not? And he's like, all right, Clacktroc swings and blows up your cat. And I was like, what the heck? And then when I was watching the stream that John had commented on this one with Rob, John thought I had the last activation too. So wow. Then I was like, man, maybe I made a mistake. So,
yeah, I think the CAM games can be a little bit trickier, but I know I've done that before in normal games too. So,
yeah,
you have to make sure you flip those tokens.
Yeah, you played the Chosen Axes, right? How was that experience?
It was a lot of fun. The deck I think actually works pretty good. I think that the hardest part is just the two movement that they have. They're just so unforgiving when it comes to positioning. And I went 2-2 over the course of the day, which I'm pretty happy with. The game that we played was probably decided in the first round. I think there were a couple things I could have done better. But, you know, I felt like there was a lot of dice in that game. But the fourth game that I played, I lost because I accidentally blocked myself. I moved a dwarf in front of one of my other dwarves, and I needed to move three spaces but could only move two. And I'm just not used to like having that low mobility. I needed to move on to an objective to get the acclaim retaken. And I missed it, and I would have scored that and dominant position. So it cost me, and I ended up losing that game by one glory. So,
ouch.
Yeah. Yeah.
What did you play on the day?
What did I play against? I played against Wild Hunt. That was you. I played the Rippas. That was the last game. The first game I played against Skaven. And maybe it was Wurmspat? Yeah, I think it was Wurmspat.
I feel like that match would have been interesting because there you can do a lot of damage, but they can mitigate it.
Yeah, and there was some of that. The Rippas one was also similar for that reason too. I had to try to play around narrow escape, but yeah, with the Nurgle, they'll just randomly do it to you. So
yeah,
I think that was the game where I got my leader up to like six damage just to try to get around that.
Yeah, the Rippas game, I played him as well. So first round, I played Val's as Seraphon, which was a close game. Mm-hmm. And then the Ripa's game was very tight. I think my opponent misplayed, which allowed him to, which stopped him from scoring perfect match, which actually, you know, gave me enough glory to win the game.
And yeah, I was, mentioned that to me, actually.
Yeah, it was wild, man. Like, I have Karthain with, like, Eye of Kurnoth, and he's like rolling for 5 damage because he inspires the 3, and he had Savage Strength and... No, he didn't have Savage Strength. He had Sting of the Urgrim and Great Strength on him.
Yeah.
And so I'm swinging into Ripa. I'd hit 5 damage, and then he gets Ripa all the way up to 8 wounds. Mm-hmm. So, like, and then he has Formidable Defense, so, like, he swings into me. I crit defense. I swing into him, roll a crit. He crit defense. He swings into me, rolls a crit. I roll crit defense. So 5 activations. We're just like tagging each other. And then finally, I rolled 2 crits.
Wow.
And then he wasn't able to stop it. And it was just like so silly because we just kept critting each other on 3 dice, which is actually pretty common. So the fact that it just happened in quick succession was crazy. And then obviously we played each other in round 3. And then I guess I played quote unquote final against David Smee and his Murder Goats, Grass Tracks to Spoilers. But yeah. Unfortunately, like both the last 2 games of the day, I just rolled hot. So it kind of sucked because like both you and David were like, yeah, I wish it was more of a game. And I completely agree. But like, I killed like 2 dwarves in round 1 against you and then against
him. I think
him.
You killed 3.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
And then against like the Despoilers, I killed like he like YOLO charges with Draknar. I roll a crit on defense, and he just immediately went on tilt, which I can understand. And you know, I killed Draknar, killed like 2 Ungors. So yeah, like more than half his warband was dead in round 1, and it was just kind of silly.
Yeah, I think that can aggro. Happen in aggro, and it's also the best of 1 format. You know, the things tend to be a little bit swingier, but
yeah,
you know, still. Still a fun time, so.
Yeah, absolutely.
but yeah, and the last game I played was fun because that was against the Ripas. He, I guess, normally plays a lot of Chosen Axes, so he knew basically everything that I was trying to do. And then at the end, he mentioned that he had been beaten by the other Path to Glory guy, and I said, well, I'm the other Path to Glory guy, so I guess you got your revenge. So
yeah, he got second, was a good I think, time. On the day.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Very, very well played, too, with the... With the Ripas, so.
Yeah. He was like, I just roll a lot of crits. I was like, oh, okay, we'll see. Crit, 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 crit. And I was like, well, I tend to roll a lot of them too, so let's see how it works out. It was fun. Well played. I think his name was Bass. Nice guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so.
Very nice guy.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
Yeah, super fun. But now we get to the exciting part. there's a crap ton of pre-orders this week. Kind of dumped on us last
Almost week. Too many.
Honestly, it is too much. It was yesterday actually where like there was this video dropped, you know, the Sunday preview, and then I watched the video and it's like talking about the new starter set, which is really cool. And then it didn't mention anything about the Crimson Court, and then like but then after the video you scroll down and then it says join us the Crimson Court as they delve into the Dire Chasm, and I'm like, "Hey?" So I wasn't really sure what was going on, and then you helped me clarify, and then thankfully, there was like some sort of pricing leak, which confirmed the dates. So we can confirm. We can confirm. Crimson Court are coming out. Starter set is coming out. And an Essentials pack is coming out. So 3 sets of items. Oh, and dice for the Death Grand Alliance dice. Those bigger dice that came out.
Yeah.
So we've got 4 things for the Underworlds dropping for pre-order this upcoming Saturday in 6 days. So, very exciting. I guess we'll start with the Crimson Court. What are your thoughts there? I mean, there's a lot of hype surrounding this warband. Beautiful models, you know, Hunger, you know, has been previewed based on a previous Warhammer community article. We've seen some cards as well. What are your thoughts?
I'm very excited about them. I think the miniatures are particularly good. I don't know if I guess the vampire range in general is pretty old, so this kind of update is really, really cool to look at. They also look really like they each look so different. I'm interested to see like how that's shown on their fighter cards and stuff, which I guess we've only seen. Is it the leader that we've seen so far?
Prince Duval.
Yeah. And I thought that the article and how they designed it was interesting too. So should be I'm curious to see how it all works. And it sounds like they're going to be good at Hunger, so we'll, you know, have a new, probably a new way to play that we haven't seen before. So,
yeah, yeah, it was really cool. Yeah, very, very exciting. The they mentioned that like there's like if they have too much hunger, they gain abilities. If they inspire, then they look different. And then there's a base stat as well. So, confirmed, yeah. Three side fighter card.
Yeah, that is interesting. It'll be interesting to see what those end up looking like. So,
yeah, yeah, very cool.
Very cool there. I always, the most fun part about any warband really is the things that only they can do and like how they're different from all the other warbands. So,
yes, unique mechanics are very interesting. And it more so than just stats and models, right? Or miniatures, rather.
Yeah, and people have commented on how like this is the fourth four fighter warband, but so far they've all been pretty different. So, it's kind of cool they've been able to do that.
Yeah, yeah. That is right. That's very cool. They play very differently thus far. Another thing that was announced, and so just to clarify, we're going to get 32 faction-specific cards, 30 universals, and 4 miniatures. And it's time to bust out those hunger counters if you got the counter set.
Oh, yeah. They've been sitting there waiting.
Yeah. All those hunger cards that you were like, this is useless. Well, not anymore. So
that's going to be the funny thing about this warband. I feel like it's not only do they have 32 universal cards, they also have about 30 universals waiting for them that are
faction and the hunger stuff.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun. The next big thing is the starter set. So for those of you who are kind of unfamiliar with this concept, essentially it's going to be the official starter set for Warhammer Underworlds for the foreseeable future. So it's going to be an evergreen set. There's 2 warbands included in it, and there's no universal. So 2 brand new warbands. We've got 3 Castigators, which are Stormcast Eternals with giant like Thunderhead crossbows, and they have a Griffhound. So they're called the Storm of Celestis, which obviously means their leader's name is Celestis. So he'll be leading them. And then we have 4 Glaivewraiths, which one of them is beating a drum, and their warband's name is Rapur's Wraith Creepers? Drapur's Wraith Creepers.
Yeah.
And both 4 fighter warbands as well.
look like they'll play pretty different too.
they do. And actually, really cool thing about it is there's going to be a simultaneous launch for Warhammer Underworlds Online as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So both of these warbands will be available online and in person at the same time. And I'm going to read a little bit of tidbit here that the online team shared. 4 fighters strong, this warband consists of 3 elite castigators and Celestis's loyal Grifthound companion. The fighters in this warband inspire when they successfully use the Thunderhead Greatbow or Beak and Claw attack action. So very similar to the Mogors, it looks like.
Yeah, yeah.
Each castigator has a bonus if they're holding an objective. Stand your ground and use this to your advantage. Very cool. It goes into some tips and tricks. Sleek, the Griffhound, can move far and fast, allowing you to get into position quickly. You want to capture an objective, Sleek will get there first. So it looks like Sleek is an animal, but smart enough like Riptooth to where he can hold an objective. Pretty neat. The castigators have both ranged and melee attacks, but only inspire when successfully using their range attacks. Choose wisely when to stay back and when to get up close and personal. And then it goes on to say Celestis have some excellent objectives, such as balanced strategy, bold claim, and crucial objective that allows them to score glory for holding certain objective markers for just 1 enemy activation. So I'm assuming score after an enemy activation, which hopefully is a major improvement compared to Beastgrave language. And just the thing to help equip some crucial upgrades in the early game. So they actually surprisingly gave away a lot of information. But that's okay because everything's going to get like card dumped this week, right? So
Yeah, probably. And you know, we don't know the specifics. So, but it sounds cool. It sounds like it's interesting that the Castigators, you said, were going to have those new objective cards. So that's interesting that it's a relatively small objective oriented warband.
Well, it's kind of like the Dread Pageant, right? Where they can kind of do that too. So same number of fighters and they confirmed that the Griffhound can hold objectives. So,
That's true. I just don't think we've seen a like Sigmarine sort of, or, you know, objective warband. So that'll be cool.
I like to think we're a little bit more cultured than to say Sigmarine, but, you know.
Are we?
I don't know. And then the next one is Drapur's Wraith Creeper. So, again, four Glaive Wraiths. This warband consists of four fighters. The Patrician inspires when at the start of your activation, and each other surviving friendly fighter is in enemy territory. The other members of this warband inspire when at the start of your activation, one or more enemy fighters are within two hexes of this fighter. So similar to like the Briar Queen in a way, but obviously they want you to play a bit more aggressively.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, it says the drum of the hunt beats endlessly. After every enemy activation, the Patrician is able to push one friendly fighter.
Wow. Yeah, that's very powerful.
It's like a combo of thorns and arrows.
Yeah, that's true.
That's just stressing me out already.
Yeah, it sounds like you really want to kill that guy, but if you get close to him, he'll inspire. So
yeah,
that's kind of a cool little mini game there.
It is interesting. So it says tips and tricks. Use the Patrician's Deathbeat ability to push Drapur, Godrig, and Hackfell within exactly two hexes of enemy fighters. This will both inspire your Wraith Creeper and put them in range to deliver a devastating two-range attack. Use the Wraith Creeper's intangible ability to gain positional advantage, moving through enemy or friendly fighters in blocked hexes. But be careful, the Wraith Creepers aren't immune to damage from lethal hexes, so watch which way you move.
Oh, that's interesting.
Looks like... Is this a sign for the future, Jonathan? Are ghosts going to not be immune to lethal anymore? Will we start placing lethal hexes when we fight against ghosty models?
Maybe. That would be nice.
It looks like we will for these guys.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks like it.
Yeah. And then it also says, keep track of what defense characteristic your opponent's fighters have. Sire Hackfell's inspired attack has cleave and can be used effectively against enemies that rely on block. And Godrig the Lance's inspired attack has the ensnare ability, allowing him to effectively nullify dodge defenses. So it looks like got some ways to take down everybody, apparently.
Yeah, that's pretty powerful, having both ensnare and cleave if the attacks are solid. So that's cool.
Yeah.
Kind of makes it, you know, depending on the matchup or the characterizations of the other fighters, you know, you may have to prioritize different things. So that's cool.
Yeah, looking forward to both of these warbands. Obviously, I like range warbands. Yeah. Profiteers and Curse Breakers and Forest Riders are near and dear to me.
Yeah.
And so I look forward to blasting my opponents off the board at range. Or at least trying. But yeah. At the same time, the Crimson Court are coming out, so I might just rip your neck out instead. We don't know.
Fair enough.
Depends on how I'm feeling on the day, whether I ate Thai food or not, right?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
The last thing is the Essentials Pack. So this is really cool. Heard a lot of questions about this one. And I just wanted to clarify for everyone based on the knowledge presented by the Warhammer community. This is going to be a evergreen set like the starter set. So essentially players who are looking to join the game but maybe find like the Dire Chasm game set or maybe the Beastgrave game set a little bit complicated. They can get by the starter set. They can get acclimated with the game, learn their warbands, take turns playing the other warband. And then once they're ready to take a step forward, they can buy the Essentials Pack, which is, again, going to be like a core part of the game. There are some older boards from Nightvault and Shadespire in there already from what we've seen in the pictures. So unless you're interested in like purchasing these two new warbands, this starter set is truly designed for new players. So, if you're a veteran, maybe you don't have to buy it unless you're a completionist or you really want, you know, cleaner boards, newer boards, or the new warbands, really. But the Essential Pack is very similar to the Gift Pack in that there are a lot of older cards will be returning. And obviously, they like the Gift Pack, there was some updated wording, so please defer to the new wording if you don't end up purchasing the Essential Pack, because you might not need to if you're a veteran. And they'll have new card art. So obviously, you got to have the new card art. So if I wasn't getting a preview copy, I probably would have bought it anyways. But it's going to be really fun. I think it's going to be really cool. And again, if you're a veteran, you don't need to buy it because they're just older cards coming back. But these are going to be great for newer players to learn the fundamentals of the game. So very excited. What do you think about all that, Jonathan?
I think it's cool. I think that the, I think for new players, it's probably something worth considering. I think the Essentials Pack in particular should be great for new players. The starter set itself seems like it's relatively optional, but a nice addition. I'm happy to have these boards back for sure. And then, you know, I always want some more warbands to play. I guess it's interesting to me. I wonder if the starter set will be a better buy than the core set, because the core set has also has universals in it. But I guess we'll have to see.
Yeah, and when you say core set, you're referring to like Dire Chasm.
Yeah, yeah, like, Dire Chasm itself. Yeah, yeah, or Beast.
Right. Growth. Gotcha, gotcha. Yeah, I mean, you know, I think it's a great launching point. Maybe like maybe you're coming in at the end of a season, and then you pick this thing up, and then you wait till, you know, season 5 or whatever drops, and then you're like, oh, cool, I'm gonna buy season 5 and play Vanguard, you know, sure. or vice versa. And then you, by the time season 6 rolls around, if and when, then boom, you're playing Championship, and now you're in the trap like the rest of us.
Yeah. Yeah, this is probably a really good purchase along with the core set as well, because then you'll have 4 boards and
4
warbands and a bunch of cards. So, yeah, it's cool. I like it.
4 boards, 4 warbands, 4 fighters each. I mean,
yeah, yikes. It's a lot of fours.
Yeah.
And the other thing I noticed is that the art on the cards looks different on this set, which is kind of neat.
Yeah, so the preview showed that the cards look very, very different. Yeah. And so it can only be an assumption that this will be a format moving forward, because you don't want to create a different format for intro players and then use older format. So we can all deduce that this may be a directional change for the cards. And while it does look cleaner, I think it'll take time to getting used to.
Yeah. Yeah, probably.
But I like it. It looks good.
I also like the new dice quite a bit. The purple and the blue are really cool.
The death dice are sexy.
Yeah. The defense dice are a little strange, but I like the other ones.
Yeah. That's probably my one gripe, but aside from that, I'm pretty I'm pretty happy with it. And one thing that you mentioned on the fighter or the new cards as well is looking at the fighter cards. They look very different. So like there's like full bleed art. So yeah. I'm pretty hyped, honestly. Stuff looks good, man.
Yeah. Yeah, it all looks really cool.
It looks like they've got like a Grand Alliance symbol underneath their faction symbol as well. So that's really cool too. Yeah, there's like a skull under the Wraith Creepers, and then there's like a, what is that? It's like a looks like a cross almost. And I've seen those symbols before. So that's cool. Pretty cool too.
Yeah.
Anyways, enough about previews. We've got a boatload of questions to go through. And this episode, we kind of went hard with the, like kind of went ham, honestly, with the Seraphon Stalkers. We dropped like 3-4 episodes in 2 weeks. And we're going to beat that. But... this week, because of all the previews we just mentioned. However, we did have a lot of questions in the meantime over the last 2 weeks. And so the goal today is to answer all these questions, give them the proper attention and thought, because starting tomorrow, we're recording 4 podcasts on top of this one and writing 5 articles this week. Kill me now.
It'll be worth it.
Yeah. And we've also got another announcement before we jump into those questions. So, Jonathan, you want to cover that really quickly?
Yeah, we're also going to be watching and commentating on some of the semifinal games for our Alliance League. And this should be on the 10th. I think we're still working out some of the details on that. But keep an eye on the Discord and we'll announce that as it happens.
Yeah.
As we know the details.
Absolutely. One thing I can share is that Steel City Underworlds Bros, Mike and Tom, will be assisting us.
Yeah.
They've been doing a great job. And then, you know, on the previous online stuff. And then, you know, Mike and I did one together and we got some good reviews. So we're going to try to mix it up, have a little Path to Glory / Steel City Underworlds menagerie, if you will, and you know, should be fun.
Yeah, it always is hanging out with them, so looking forward to it.
Right on. Okay, first question from Wath Lab. As always, a somehow controversial question. With all the mechanics added to the game over time, parentheses, magic, hunter, quarry, primacy, hunger, close parentheses, don't you think that the game could face a rule bloat in the future? On a slightly different matter, because of this, right now I have the impression that it's harder than ever to know what your opponent has in mind and what he or she is trying to score. The latter issue being also exacerbated by the increasing number of hybrid objectives. Glory denial is a really important aspect of the game, and it would be really bad if it was lost, in my honest opinion. Jonathan, what is your honest opinion?
I think that's a good good question, and a good observation. Shout out to Wathrab. He is sort of the in-house chosen axes expert, I feel like, and I asked him for some help with my deck, and he gave me some good tips, some of which I listened to and some of which I did not, and then ended up regretting. So like, Vision of Glory is a really good card, but it's not always a really good card. So that was the one he said I should probably skip that I ended up taking. But anyway, so I would say that yes, you could definitely have too many mechanics. I don't know if I think we do have too many. I think if we keep adding them, there could be too many. But I think maybe if this is, you know, if it sticks to about where it is now, that's probably fine. I guess I don't know if we know for sure, but I don't know if we're going to just constantly build on these mechanics forever and then they're just going to get more and more and more. It seems like that would be too many at some point, but personally, I don't feel like, I feel like magic is almost phased out, and when it does come up, it's not really that big of a deal. And then Hunter and Quarry, like Hunger, we don't even have yet. And then Hunter and Quarry, they're functional, but they're not really something that you have to worry about, it seems like. So I don't know. I don't really feel like there are too many mechanics in the game right now. Do you?
No. Short answer. So he goes and says, like, you know, over time, mechanics have been added. I think that's natural for any game that's progressing and trying to diversify not only their player base, yeah, you know, via attracting new individuals, but also, you know, mixing it up for your veterans, because, you know, people can get bored really quickly, especially when it's COVID and you're sitting at home all day and doing the same thing over and over again can be quite frustrating. So, no, I don't think there's any rule bloat right now, and I don't think there will be in the near future. I think they've been pretty open about saying that, like, Hunter and Quarry is like a seasonal mechanic, and that, like, Direchasm and Hunger is a seasonal mechanic. So
yeah,
I imagine that, you know, when Beastgrave and Direchasm eventually phase out over time, we might not see very much Hunter and Quarry or Primacy or Hunger in the future. Yeah. I also think you're very right about Magic. Right now it feels very stale. But I also think, again, I have a lot of thoughts on Magic. I think it was too strong to begin with. I mean, now we're just used to it being like a 9 out of 10, but in reality, it should have been always a 5 or 6 out of 10, maybe even less.
Yeah.
I do really like the fact that he mentions that it is really hard right now to figure out what your opponent's trying to do. Now, I think there are some examples where, like, it's fairly obvious, you know, like, if your opponent is playing Grimwatch. Well, actually, so Grimwatch is actually a confusing one, so maybe I shouldn't start with that one. If your opponent's playing Gitz, for example, you know that they're going to try to score objectives. If your opponent is playing Starblood Stalkers, you know they're going for objectives. If you're playing Wild Hunt, they're probably going to charge into your territory, try to kill you. Same with Rippas. There are some instances where, like, you can, like, have a warband like Grimwatch who can, like, go for the pure hold objective, or also, like, I'm just going to, like, charge you with all my ghouls, score for being in enemy territory, and then, like, Amberbone it up, Bloody Axe it up, and go to town. That's cool, too. And I do find that to be hard. And then, like, every once in a while, you'll come up against, like, a Profiteer hold objective warband or, like, a Control Molog. But again, I feel like that's part of the fun, and that's why the game is meant to be played a best 2 out of 3. If your opponent throws you off guard in game one, that's fine. If you can't adapt within that game, you have 2 more games to do it. And that's the hallmark trait of good players. I do find it very interesting about the hybrid stuff. And right now, so far, I think while there are a lot of cool hybrid scores, there are some hybrid cards that are always going to be scored a certain way. For example, Gathered Momentum, I would say like arbitrary percentage, 85 to 90% of the time, is scored because a person charged 5 hexes away. So if you see like a cover ground or like a Spectral Wings or Outrun Death going on, you can try to counter it that way if even possible. Very rarely are you going to score it because you scored 2 other surges in the round. Same with Show of Force. If your opponent's playing an aggro warband, they're just going to charge 3 fighters into your territory, distract them or something. But you can't deny the latter score. So if you can deny it early, maybe brick their hand. But if you can't do it, they're going to get it anyways for 3 objectives on the single fighter. So
yeah,
while I agree with that assessment to an extent, I also think some of the best cards in this game that are hybrid cards are very predictable for the time being. That could change.
Yeah, and those two are probably 2 of the strongest examples of hybrid cards in the meta right now. The other ones are probably the primacy ones for gaining the primacy token, keeping it, and then having a 4 damage one. And those are pretty reliable, but it's only 1 glory, so I'm not too concerned about that. I do think that theoretically you could have too many hybrid objectives where both sides of them were very easy to score, but I don't know if we're there yet. I think in general there aren't that many objectives in the game right now that you can sort of foresee and then deny. There may be some, and maybe we just haven't played with some of these newer cards enough yet to really start like trying to deny a Unafraid or a card like that. But yeah, I think it's something to keep in mind. Back to the mechanics, I do think that primacy in particular is very, very powerful right now, and I think that until it does phase out, it's going to be very dominant. So I would hope that we don't have like too many very, very dominant mechanics at the same time at a given period, because then it might be confusing. But I don't know. I think in general the game's doing okay, and I hope that it continues to.
Right on, right on. Well, I think, Wathlab, again, thanks for that awesome question. Definitely made us think a lot. Jonathan, you want to get the next one?
Yeah, the next one's from Saris. And then there's actually kind of a couple response questions there.
I'm ready.
Should temporary victory become unrestricted with the addition of primacy and aggro gaining a number of new tools, in addition to there being more consistent enemy pushes compared to friendly? Objective play has struggled recently. Hitting faction cards with an R is a better way to stop specific abusers of TV. I guess we could stop there for now. What do you think about temporary victory?
Yeah, yeah. I joked earlier with the no, but it's true. So temporary victory is one of those cards that is a very large swing in the game. And yes, it's become increasingly difficult to score that card. But there are instances that will always be abusable by certain warbands. And it's just an unfortunate side effect of this game. You've got the Thorns of the Briar Queen who can auto-score it. You've got the Zarbax Gitz who can auto-score it. You've got Pack Advance from the Grimwatch, which pretty much means they can auto-score it.
Burst Even the skeletons can almost auto-score it.
Yeah, you can just move.
With like 1 card, yeah.
Yeah, or you can use the Warden's action. You've also got Burst from the Shadows. So... And the problem with temporary victory is then what you're creating a curse breaker scenario with the Starblood Sockers where you get 2 glory and you've inspired. I don't know. What I do think is that there should be cards that are affecting objective play to the point where it's struggling. I mean, it is struggling a little bit. I've still seen some players do some amazing things with objective warbands. But like if mischievous spirits or distraction or living land are issues, then maybe we should target those cards instead, because Thorns have been hit with 3 cards. Grimwatch have been hit with 2 cards. And I think those are the biggest offenders when it comes to objective play. And Gitz, I would be cool with Scrum coming off. Because sure, let the Gitz have it.
maybe, yeah.
But not temporary victory. I just don't see it happening. I do agree that objective play isn't as good as it was in Beastgrave, but again, it was broken in Beastgrave. So I just have no sympathy at this point, because like it's been brought down to a level where it's, you know, quasi balanced. You know, I think maybe there's like a rise of aggro now, and you know, there's a cyclical nature of this game as well. So mm-hmm. I think you can balance that again with a very well designed restricted list, and then it'll be fine. Especially if you just restrict Mischievous Spirits alone, it's a whole different game, period.
Yeah, that would be a pretty big swing. From my perspective, the restricted list serves a few purposes. And one of them is to, you know, balance the game and make sure that, you know, some warbands aren't way too good and other warbands aren't terrible. But another one is just to make the game fun to play. And from my perspective, when you have a lot of surges that score just based off positioning, like Hidden Purpose, Swift Capture, Temporary Victory, Gathered Momentum, I don't think the game is that fun, because it's, you know, you just take a lot of pushes, you just, you know, take a bunch of positioning tools, and then you just score a bunch of surges. So for that reason, if we are in a situation where objective play is too weak, I would definitely want to find other solutions to that problem rather than making it stronger by, you know, introducing something that I consider to be overpowered and bad for the game. So, that said, if the only goal was balance, then I think unrestricting Temporary Victory, you know, would help make objective warbands better. I just don't think that's the only way. So, yeah.
I mean, pretty much agree. Hitting faction cards again with an R is a better way to stop specific abusers of Temporary Victory. We already did that. I guarantee if you bring it back, they're going to score it like bananas. So,
yeah. And I mean, the cards that were hit for Grimwatch in particular were their own version of Temporary Victory and another card that's just about as bad, the Shifting Madness. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I think it's needed. I can understand the sentiment though. You know, yeah, I think objective play is kind of in a little bit of a slump, although I'm still taking a, you know, Path to Victory. I'm still taking Dominant Position. I'm taking Swift Capture. I'm taking Hidden Purpose. So, I mean, there's definitely objective flex going on.
Well, I just think objectives have been changed, right? Like, if you look at Shadespire, Night Vault, you had the classic Supremacy, et cetera, et cetera. Then you jump to Beastgrave, everything's like surges. So then there's an adaptation again. You know, you build your decks to where they can be more flexy and they can score off these surges. You take more push cards. You take more upgrades to like turn into aggro after you've scored. And now we're going to Dire Chasm. And now it's a different type of hold objective. It's hold more or hold two. But you can still play hold objectives. You have Dread Pageant, who are doing great with Excess of Avidity and Dominant Position. You have Skaven and Grimwatch scoring Treasure Hunters. You've got Seraphon, you know, doing mm-hmm. the same thing, you know, Swift Capture. I mean, those are all still very, very relevant and being scored. So I would actually challenge you in saying that objective play isn't being played, because it actually is being played. It's just a different version of that, just in the same way that Primacy is a different version of aggro. Right? Like, aggro is now transformed into speed package, jump into enemy territory, be hunters and Primacy. That's aggro now. But, like, it's not the same aggro that it was in Beastgrave or Night Vault or Shadespire. So.
Yeah. I would think that's correct.
Anyways.
Next. I also think that the current card pool and the current far list from back in December is at such a point where if you are playing an objective warband, you don't feel like you have the room to take Temporary Victory. But I could imagine that if, you know, we get an update, maybe that changes, you know. Like you said, Mischievous Spirits is a massive reason why Temporary Victory is kind of hard to score right now. So if there were some changes, you know, I could definitely see it coming back. So I wouldn't write it off entirely.
Mischievous Spirits stops you from scoring Supremacy, which is a core card in every expansion of this game. So
that
for that reason alone, it needs to be restricted, period.
Yeah, I could agree with that for sure. The next question is kind of a follow-up. I think they were posted right after each other from Smooves or Smoovesness.
It's Smoovesness. He reached out to me and let me know. He wasn't happy.
Okay. Smoove. They say, this is a great question and could be expanded further. Should cards be taken off the R list more regularly? It has been done in the past, after rotation or otherwise, namely fired up in Loner. After the Nightfall rotation, a lot of push cards are no longer available. Scrum, TV seem like unattractive options, being on the R list with the current card pool of ploys and upgrades. Yeah, so what do you think about that side of it? I know you just said you might want to, you'd be okay with Scrum coming off.
Yeah, yeah. So my thoughts on Temporary Victory Stand, very, very strong card, two Surge. It was too glory for a Surge, for doing something that you can pretty much set up in a power step. Again, very strong. I don't like the fact that that can happen. I would be very against that coming off a list. Now, Scrum, on the other hand, is one of those weird cards, right? It's really binary. When it's unrestricted, it's very attractive. When it's restricted, no one takes it.
Yeah.
Except Gits, maybe. So what you're doing is you're creating another way for objective warbands to score. So I'd be okay with Scrum coming off because Gits, I mean, even aggro warbands can take into it. Like, you see a lot of people running Unafraid nowadays, so might benefit both players.
Yeah.
I don't have an issue with that, but I would agree that Scrum and TV seem unattractive on the current R list, but I have hope that there is another far list on the horizon. And if there isn't, then I know plenty of TOs, league event organizers, and tournament organizers who are willing to create their own custom far lists. I imagine that they will take care of what needs to be done if GW does not release another far list in a timely order. So I think, again, TV, no way, Scrum, I'm okay.
What about Cryptic Companion? I haven't seen much of that one since it was restricted.
Yeah, I see it a lot, actually, but that just might be in my practice. Our practice group, actually. You've been.
I think Tommy likes it, actually. That's
Tommy. Yeah, I didn't want to throw his name out there, but yeah, my bad, dude. Wasn't me. But yes.
I think he talked about it on our Seraphine episode.
Oh, did he? Okay, cool. I kind of felt bad. But yeah, he loves that card, and he scores it to great effect. I know Tom Bond loves that card as well. So I think it's pretty solid. I think it's worth a restricted slot. You have the potential to get 3 glory on average, maybe 1.5. So
yeah,
I dig it.
How about Rebound?
That card can stay there.
Yeah, those two are the two that were a little bit questionable when I saw that question. There's a few other ones like Survival Instincts. I don't think it's worth a restricted slot, but it's just too good if it's in every single deck.
Exactly. It's just like
Scrum. Tight Defense is the same card, and it's like, why? I don't even know why both of those exist together.
well, Tight Defense is insane because it's a reaction.
Yeah, so that's
true. You can continue to react and score, you know, for whatever reason on other cards if you need to. But it can also block stuff, which is silly. But they're also, those two cards, again, are super binary. When they're unrestricted, they're broken. And when they're restricted, you're like, eh.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I saw, you know, Baz from the event last weekend. He was running Tide Defense.
Oh, okay.
So he thought it was worth it.
Yeah, well, and that's the cool thing about, you know, the list, and different people could play different things. So I'm sure some people still play Scrum, too. But I could understand wanting it to come back. To me, I'm a little bit more neutral on it. I haven't played Gits in a little while, but I don't think they really need Scrum. And then for everybody else, I don't feel like it's that great. So maybe that means it doesn't need to be on the list, but I don't know if I particularly miss it. It's just a little silly the way it works for Gits, so that's kind of why I feel like it could stay on the list. But
yeah, Scrum went on the list when Thorns of the Briar Queen hadn't been errated, when there was no faction-restricted cards. Yeah. So
it is one of the oldest ones on there, yeah.
Yeah, so it can definitely come back. And then, you know, Beastgrave is going to rotate out presumably this fall, so might as well bring some of those cards back, but not Temporary Victory.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. The next one is
Ceres again, looks like.
Actually, that one needs to be lower down. So the next one is It's Lewis. Why don't you take this one?
Yeah, okay, cool. It's Lewis. Oh, I like this question. Which warband wins first prize in a best pet contest?
Do you think it's going to be Sleek? He can hold objectives.
I don't know, man. Riptooth is a good boy.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's still going to be Riptooth for me. Yeah.
Riptooth is a good boy, and he'll murder.
Drafnir is, as you like to say, thick.
Yo, dude. Yo, I might have to give it to... Well, you know, Riptooth's kind of thick, too.
That is true.
I also kind of like how Miari has an owl, but, like, he's so chill of a pet that he's just a card.
What about Fecula's little Nurgling?
No. That thing is creepy AF.
We're not talking about that?
We're not talking about that. I don't know, man.
Gremlin or something.
It's weird, dude. It's scary. I look at the model and I'm just like, gross. And then the worst part about playing Wurmspat, side tangent, is like, you know, when you face your models towards the enemy, you just stare at their butts the whole time. And like, Beastmen butts are fine because they're kind of funny. But like, you got like a prolapsed something coming out of Sepsimus. And then, you know, whatever the other guy's name, Gurgoch. His booty's out there. It's just
Beast Grave was the season for butts, for sure.
It's just a lot, man. I wish I could play more Blade Coven that way, but, you know, they suck.
I guess you could. Yeah.
Go ahead and give a... I don't know. You pick a pet at this point. I don't know. I mean, even there's a mushroom, too, but I don't know if we want to give any awards to...
I mean, there's also Grawl. He's kind of the classic. You love to hate him, you know?
I mean, I hate Loghain more than Grawl.
Yeah, that makes sense. why don't you take It's Lewis's second question?
Well, but you didn't pick first prize. Which warband?
For the best pet contest, I think it's Bigor's Fiends.
Okay.
Yeah.
Riptooth is the German Shepherd of Warhammer Underworlds. Super loyal, but will tear your enemies' throats out. Love it. Also, what are your thoughts on the future of warbands? Now that all factions have been covered for the most part, do you think they could start releasing old warbands again but changed up because of the story? They did that in... Uh-oh, we're mentioning another game here. War Machine. With different versions of the same characters representing different points in the story. What do you
think? So I don't know if I think that they've covered everything as much as they could. I bet they could, you know, crack out another 30 warbands if they wanted to.
I think he means like in terms of, I think they mean in terms of faction. So like, you know, we've got Bone Reapers, we've got Night Haunt, we've got skeletons, we've got vampires. Yeah. Like what other death is out there? Right. That kind of stuff.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. I'm not too familiar with, I guess we have all the factions, but I'm sure we could get some more unit variety, you know, but yeah, I get the point. I think that would be really cool. I would actually probably much prefer a like souped up version of Steelhearts that plays a little bit differently than I would like I know a lot of people want them to redo the older warbands. I would prefer like a new version rather than a redo. So I'd be okay with that.
Yeah. So
particularly if they played very differently, that would be exciting to me because you can still play the old one. So.
Agreed. I think for me, I would love, and I've thought about this for a lot for some reason, because this idea came to me a while ago, and it's kind of always stuck, is that, like, you know how, like, Kirk is the almost trusted?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, you shouldn't have trusted him, Scritch, so you can't die with the curse of the Cataphranes, but I figured Kirk could figure out a way to trap Scritch in a piece of shade glass. So, like, Scritch isn't dead, but he's trapped. And then Kirk takes over the warband, and so there's like this new Skaven warband that comes out where Kirk is the leader. And so now he's Kirk. And so Kirk is the greatest could be a card, because it's finally, you know, that could be funny card name. And then you have like new Skaven that are come with him, and he kind of like has the same weapon attainment, but maybe he like took Scritch's helmet or something like that. I think that would be really cool, because like the way it works, and like if you're familiar with the lore in Warhammer Underworlds, like time flows differently. So you can actually the canon version of why two warbands that are the same can fight each other is because they're fighting either their future or their past selves. But because the Warhammer Underworlds kind of messes with your head a lot, they don't look as if they are you. Because, like, you know, if Severin fought Severin, they would just be like, yo, dude, let's just work together. But to both of them, they may look like fiends or they may look like orcs. And so that's why it works. So I think it'd be really cool where, like, Kirk is fighting future Kirk but doesn't know it's future Kirk. Kind of like Spock and future Spock if you're a Star Trek guy, you know? So.
Yeah.
I think it'd be really cool. I love that. And then maybe like maybe they can make a Wild Hunt warband where like Legain grew up and he's like a giant thick lion. You know, right, maybe right. maybe with two heads and just eats everything. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
skates in a wheelchair.
oh my. I don't even know what a wheelchair for a horse would look like.
It's just it's a half wagon.
Just in a wagon. Okay. We'll go to the next question, I guess. Also from Shmubness. Or Shmoovness, however you say it.
He's going to kill you. He's I corrected know. Us like 10 times. I know. Shmoovness.
Smoothness. Crushes seem to be the new hotness. They have good matchups all around the metagame. Do you beat Crushes consistently? Do they have unfavorable matchups? What is their weakness in this metagame? What do you think?
So Crushes are very good. They're very good into Molag, and they're also very... I think they would. I can. You can arguably say they're just as oppressive as Molag right now. And that's just... And it's not because they're like poorly designed. I think it's maybe just because like we need another far and they've got some really good cards. So some of them need to be restricted. I wouldn't say I beat them consistently. I think I've got like a 50-50 rate going into Crushes right now. One of the Crushes players I'm playing into is probably the best Crushes deck I've seen out there, period. And he's got a lot of reps with them. So that makes it difficult, but it also makes it fun, I think. I think the best way to beat Crushes has always been passive glory. So if you have more objective scoring end phase than they do, then great. I think one tactic that people are picking up onto as of late has been using like Barblad and Net. You've been doing that a lot. You've been taking Winded with combo as well. I've been taking Energy Drain a lot. So if you can start teching cards like that as well and like shutting down some of these elite warbands, then you probably have a better chance of either running into enemy territory or scoring through your objective deck, because you don't have to worry about five wound warriors who hit for three damage murdering your entire warband.
Yeah, I think that the warbands that are taking too many cards for killing fighters are going to have a trouble against them in particular. But any kind of passive glory is good. And then I think you just try to make use of their slow speed and the fact they only have three fighters. But it's tough. I mean, when I played against them in the tournament before this most recent one, I guess I don't think we had the cards from the Lizardmen yet. But and they probably did get a little bit better. But I played against them with a Grimwatch and... between the Net and the lead bone dust and the just having more fighters, I think I managed to kill two of them and then was able to just kind of control the board. And I think that's how you sort of have to do it. But in that game, I think he scored, 11 glory in the first round off the surges and stuff that was going on. And I was just kind of lucky to have my deck come out in the right order, in the second and third round for me, and got a couple lucky kills. So I think it's always going to be tough. I mean, I just they're a top tier warband, so.
Yeah, I mean, I think your game against Crushes is a great showcase for that strategy we discussed. I think it was a really interesting game to watch. I watched it afterwards, and it was very cool the way that you were able to come back from such a strong deficit. I think the only other way... Like, even my Wild Hunt deck that I played over the weekend, like, I almost none of my cards, at least Surge, is required to kill an enemy fighter. All of it was like, I have more hunters than you, or I have three hunters in enemy territory, or I moved six hexes, or I charged six hexes, So, while I was trying to kill you, ultimately, I wasn't necessarily, too upset if I missed, because I'm still scoring.
Yeah, your deck isn't going to brick because you aren't getting the kills that you need early enough,
Yeah.
There are ways to get primacy now too without getting kills, which can be nice.
Proud Runner is nice, man.
Yeah.
Also helps with scoring cover ground on Skaith or Legain.
Yeah, it's also nice for stopping them from getting primacy.
You just wait till the fourth activation and then you just move five hexes or charge or whatever, and you just stole their glory.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Next question, also from Shmoov. Do you think the Essential card pack will contain one-to-one reprints of past seasons? If they were, what do you think about this? Do you think they should stay in Championship for another 2 years? What is the point of rotating out cards if they're going to end up in Standard card pool again anyway?
It's a good question. My understanding from what they've said so far is that it will be one-to-one reprints. If they are, what do I think about it? I think that depending on what cards they are, it's fine. He says, do you think they'll stay in Championship for another 2 years? I assume that they'll be part of this season, so probably. What's the point of rotating out cards if they're going to end up with a Standard card pool again? I guess I would say that if this is... I guess on one hand, maybe there isn't a point. On the other hand, if these are generally useful cards that... you know, why reprint, you know, why print a slightly different version of a card when you can just print one that worked before? You know, like if we, like, I guess Distraction would be the example of that. I don't really know why they made Nightmare in the Shadows if they were just going to reprint Distraction. But I'm also fine with them reprinting Distraction if that, if they just feel like they need a, if they need that card in the game. You know, we've had Sidestep every single, you know, part of this season or part of this whole game, and I don't think that's a problem. So I think it just depends on the card. I guess once we get into the what cards are contained, you know, I'll probably have a more concrete opinion. But for me, I don't really have a problem with some old cards coming back if they're depending on what they are. I'm sure there's some I'll have a real problem with if they came back. So just going to depend on what it is.
I kind of agree. I mean, we explained the Essential pack earlier, so, you know, like, do I want Ready for Action to come back? I mean, mixed emotions, but probably not. But then at the same time, like, you know, are these cards going to be great for newer players? Absolutely. These are probably a group of cards that, you know, are pretty decent, seen a lot of play in the past, and are designed to help people learn the game. And so I think it's great. My understanding is that, you know, it's a starter set, and, you know, just like in 40K or Age of Sigmar, you get starter sets. Those last for 2-3 years, sometimes even 4. So this could be in the game for a while. It could be very short. We really don't know, but the idea here is that if you've got a buddy or like a someone at your store who just is like, yo, I want to get into this game and I want to like see what warbands can do and I want to, you know, figure out like what universal cards are pretty decent, and you have like a core base to play off of for the foreseeable future, then why the hell not, really? So yeah. I like the idea. I keep in mind that just like the gift pack, they did release older cards, but they had updated wording, so that might be a thing. And they're going to have new card art, which, again, you got to have the new card art.
Yeah, I guess the dream for me would be to bring back, like, slightly changed versions of old cards. Like, I would love to see a Time Trap, but that would, like, work correctly, you know? Because it actually worked okay in Season 1, and then with the rules changes in Season 2, it was, like, way more powerful, so they ended up banning it. But, like, that would be an interesting card to come back. I would, like... keep them guessing that wasn't too confusing, I guess, or was worded correctly, you know? So there's a lot of old cards I would be really happy to see come back. So I think it just depends, but it says essential, so I'm hoping it's nothing too insane, you know? So the next question,
Ready for Action, Rebound, Escalation, right. Master of Battle.
Yeah.
Trap, Pit Trap, Shard Gale. I don't know. Let's just do it all.
Shardgale. Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah. See, that's the kind of thing that could be a problem, but I guess I'm hoping that it's a little bit more tame than that.
I have hope that it won't be another gift pack scenario.
The next question is sort of a follow-up as well. Saris and Smovness kind of bouncing off each other here. Which card would you most like... which card would you most and least like to see returning? Personally, Change of Tactics and Ready for Action are Saris' choices. So, yeah, I think Ready for Action coming back would be a mistake, for sure.
Shardgale might actually be interesting right now. I don't know what I think about that. I probably don't want it, but it'd be interesting to try it. I already said Time Trap would be cool to have back if it worked correctly. I do like Change of Tactics. I'm not sure if I want that back, though. What do you think?
Yeah, not necessarily want any of those cards back. I do want Glory Seeker back.
Yeah.
Probably one of my favorite cards. And then I think a card that I would cry if it came back. Probably like a Escalation, maybe.
Yeah.
Because that just like...
I don't want my turn back. I know that.
Oh, yeah. No aggressive defense. No my turn. No extreme flank. None of that stuff.
Yeah.
You know what? I never actually had a problem with extreme flank. I just think it was worded so confusingly. I would love to see a faction version of it come in the future.
Yeah, just worded the way that they actually wanted it to.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind like a Faneway Crystal, although maybe that's played itself out. You know.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to see Potion of Rage too, but I know a lot of people hate that card.
Yeah, I think that is the interesting thing, is my preference would be like sort of niche cards that were useful or were kind of useful, or I don't know. It is interesting because some cards will define a season and you kind of want those to go away and let new cards take their place. So
that's
it's
fair.
It's an interesting concept, you know?
Yeah, you know, like Potion of Rage probably helped define Night Vault, so that's fair. I'll give you that. It was never restricted, though.
No.
I think it would be cool to see Hidden Paths for a quarry, maybe. But maybe that's not essentials.
Yeah.
Anyways, cool. Yeah. Bring back Glory Seeker. Give my Thundrick range 3/3 damage. And I'll murder all the crushes.
The next question is from Compact. With the release of Sleek, is Grawl still going to be the goodest boy?
Depends on who you ask. If you ask Tom Bond, absolutely.
Yeah. I think he will be. I'm actually probably going to try to play some Godsworn Hunt soon. So we will. We'll have an update on that, I guess.
I mean, like I mentioned at the beginning of this this season, I think Godsworn Hunt are going to be a great warband.
I think with Proud Runner, like, they can probably do Primacy. That's what I was thinking after the butt kicking you gave me the other day.
Yeah.
One of the things I came off of with that.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to eventually winning a trophy with them before Tom. That is my goal. But I do think Sleek might be the best boy ever, because he is a doggy, but he's also a birdie. And he can hold objectives.
That's big. That is big.
It's huge. So he might be the goodest boy.
Yeah, could be.
Do you want me to get this next one?
Yeah, go ahead.
And so Duke Ashcan, in the Mirror Seraphon matchup, how important is it to win objective placement?
Probably a little bit important. What do you think?
So I don't know if it matters much. I think based off the episode that we had with Tommy, he's pretty much convinced me that you don't take temporary victory. But I know some people who do, and they've actually scored it quite well. In fact, I've scored it a lot with the Warband as well. So it depends. If you take temporary victory, we can hear you typing, by the way. I don't know if that's intentional, but if you take temporary victory, then maybe you want the three objectives. Otherwise, you just aggressively place one objective in their territory. It throws them for a loop. And then you can kind of maybe hopefully position one objective that's that you know that they're going to try to score swift capture of. You can defend it and then fight them. And then the cool part is, if they're holding the objectives, they do technically have an advantage, but that also means that they can't move. So the rest of your warband can come in, potentially counterplay, you know, maybe eliminate the enemy Claktrok quickly, and then, you know, sweep up the skinks. But I really think that you've got a pretty good game either way. but I think the aggressor in that matchup might need to rely a little bit on dice. But good thing the Seraphon have pretty crappy defense rolls.
Yeah, I'm not really sure how important inspiring itself is. So I think your point about temporary victory makes sense. Like in that matchup in particular, like I don't know if inspiring gets you a ton. So it's possible that the and like you said, with the objective placement, you can sort of mitigate some of the disadvantages of not having three. So I bet there's some boards. I bet depending on what board your opponent picks, you might actually get a good advantage from being able to place the boards, because your fighters are all pretty fast. So, you know, you may still be able to hold two and then go in and challenge that third one. So I don't know. I haven't played that matchup yet. So,
it's worth
some experimenting, I guess.
It's really whose Claptrap goes off, I think.
Yeah,
but I think that's big. If you can zone out the other Claptrap, which is really hard to do because six fighters, then maybe you can, I don't know. I really think you're absolutely right. It's just hold two and then make sure they don't have, you know, more than you.
Yeah. And there's so much disruption, I think, in most Seraphon decks that I'm not really sure if there's a big advantage either way.
So. Yeah.
Interesting question. The next one's from Hussman. The Warhammer Underworlds Online preview on Steam mentions the Castigator Warband has some hold objective surges that are scored after the enemy activation. How does this compare with the current hold objective surges as far as balance? What do you think?
I love it. The interesting thing about some cards like Temporary Victory, Shifting Madness, Swift Capture is that Show of Force even, is you can score them after your own activation. I like the fact that, hypothetically, if you have to fulfill a condition and then wait until your opponent can react with a full activation and potentially two power step rounds is really cool. And then if you can still hold on to it, then dude, you deserve that glory.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. I think I like it too. Of course it'll depend on exactly what the cards are, but I think it seems like a cool concept. I sort of wish that the ones we already have were either after your activation only, or, you know, after the opponents or something like that. But I think right now the fact that Hidden Purpose and Temporary Victory could be scored pretty much any time, it's just kind of silly. So sounds like an improvement to me.
Absolutely. Last question. Wathlab again. Something I was wondering today. Right now we're allowed to include three restricted cards in our decks. What's the effect of such a low number on balance, and is it a good number?
So I was thinking about this today, and I think that the number itself, I think three is good for right now with the current list. I think if we went to a higher number, I would want even more cards restricted. Like right now, I wouldn't say I probably want, I don't know, Gather Momentum or Spectral Wings restricted. If we had five, for example, maybe I would want those cards restricted. You'd still probably take them, but you'd have to make some choices. You know, maybe you'd have to pick between Show of Force and Gather Momentum or Surge of Aggression. You know, I think you would just need more. I think the first list had like 25 cards on it or something, and you could pick five. And that seemed okay at the time. But so I think that's okay. It seems like the reason that they went to three was because it was the beginning of a season and there weren't that many cards to put on the list. And if it was five, you almost wouldn't have a list. But so I don't know. I don't have a problem with three in particular. I just think it's, I think for given a given list, there's a right number to have that list. The way I usually like to do it is if I'm allowed to take three, I want to have to pick between like five and I want to make some hard choices. To me, that means the list and the number is in the right place. You know, if the number is five, then I want to have a hard time picking between a seven or eight that I, you know, want to put it in the deck but can't. So that's how I think about it, I think.
Yeah, I think about it in the same way. When the change was made to three, it was during the Shadespire rotation. And if you actually looked at the cards on that list, majority of them were Shadespire. So, you know, having five would have just been like, okay, as you mentioned, there is really no list anymore. Malak can take everything he needs and more.
And then just the Magic, basically. Like, Magic and Range would have had cards on that list, and nobody else would have had anything.
Exactly. So it would just, it would have just kind of reversed everything that the far list had done previously before that. And so when there's a smaller list, obviously there's a smaller limit. And I think it's been a great limit so far, and I don't necessarily think it should change. As there are more cards added to the list, I'm sure that could be reevaluated. But I really like the fact that even now, even though there aren't very many cards on the list, and I just narrowed down to four restricted cards, I have to think about it for like 10, 15, 20 minutes. Or maybe I like try one in a game and then swap it out and try another game. And that's already pretty challenging and fun to me. Obviously, there are some games or some decks and warbands that are like, oh, these three you probably do take no matter what. But I don't know. I mean, just that Cryptic conversation earlier, Cryptic Companion conversation, like, you know, arguably one of the best objective hold objective players out there loves that card, but then a lot of people aren't really high on it. And it's like, well, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually think that the current list was a really good one. I think that there's probably like one or two cards I would have preferred to be added on there with it. Specifically the Ferocious Resistance and Deserve Confidence. Like, just those two cards, I think would have made the last 3 months or 4 months of games a little bit more balanced. But in general, I think this is a pretty good list, because I'm taking Hidden Purpose a fair amount. You know, I'm taking Strength of Terror a fair amount, but I'm also taking Quick Search or Frenzied Search sometimes. I've taken the Gauntlets. I probably haven't taken Tight Defense and Survival Instincts, but we've talked about that. I've taken Trophy Belt. I've taken Vision of Glory. I haven't taken Amberbone Mace, but you don't really need it because you have the sword. So, you know, I think it's a good list, and I think it's a good number. So I'm pretty happy with it. One thing that Wathrob did mention, you know, in the Patreon chat as well, is he was talking about how if you don't have the faction cards restricted, then a bigger list means that everybody gets, you know, closer to the same number of really powerful cards. And I think there is something to that. So I am glad that the faction cards have been included, because yeah. I think that gets around that. It kind of evens things out a little bit.
If faction cards weren't ever added to this list, then they'd just, all the other quote unquote less blessed warbands, and from terms of faction card perspective, would get boned. And we saw that in the past. Eyes of the Nine and Lotharis got nuked to the ground. Curse Breakers were still a thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, there could be an argument that maybe Lotharis were really good, but so were Curse Breakers, and they were still viable. So, and Eyes of the Nine never really got their chance in the sun. So,
And I guess one argument for a larger list could be that you could actually restrict more faction cards. You know, to some of the like B tier or the A tier warbands, because instead of taking away, like if you restrict one of a warband's faction cards, you kind of restrict a third of their restricted cards, or you take away a third of their restricted cards. Whereas, you know, if there were five, you'd be able to tweak it a little bit more. You might be able to do a little bit more fine tuning, but either way, I don't think that they. It doesn't seem like it's an exact science. Let's put it like that, and. I think the current system works fine. So,
yeah, right on. I've got a question for you.
Sure.
What's the most exciting thing about the previews this coming weekend, or the releases, or at least the pre-orders?
I think for me, it's going to be to see how the hunger mechanic actually functions once we have a warband that's capable of using it. I'm pretty interested to see how that works, because it's kind of a combo in some ways, but it's also sort of like a slow combo, which we haven't really seen before, because you can like stack, you know, if you get the application part of the combo, which is like when you're putting the tokens on, you can do that earlier in the game, and then later in the game you can start like spending them or start activating them or whatever it's going to end up being. So I think that'll be an interesting mechanic. So like that in itself, and then it sounds like the vampires also like interact with the tokens in cool ways themselves. So it sounds like it'll be a kind of a unique experience.
Nice, cool. Well, Okay, everyone, that's it for this episode. Look forward to more.
Did you have something that you were excited about?
No, I didn't. I just was curious on what your thoughts were generally. I know. I'm excited about everything. I love this game. I thought you were going to say the dice, so that was I was going to see if you were going to go for it. But yes.
The dice are cool.
Yeah, they are. Okay, everyone, that's it for this episode. Look forward to more episodes and articles later this week. As we review the new products that will be up for pre-order, we plan to review all three warbands, their cards, all of the universals from the vampires, and all the universals from the essential pack. That's right. We've got 4 podcasts and 5 articles coming out this week. Again, kill me now.
Yeah, and if you are a Patreon supporter, we'll have some exclusive content probably sometime in the next week. Because I don't know if we could do more than we're doing now. And we'll be talking about decks that we've been playing with the new cards. And if you are a aspiring champion level supporter, give us your input on if you want us to talk about anything else in the end phase. We would love your ideas. So should be a lot of fun as we get all the new products. Once again, thank you to our patron supporters. If you would like to join our current patrons, you can do so at patreon.com/pathtoglory. You can find all of our blog content on pathtoglorypodcast.com. If you have any feedback, questions, or comments, let us know on Facebook, Twitter, or Discord at Path to Glory Podcast. Please rate and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen. It does help. As always, thanks for listening, and we wish you the best of luck on your path to glory.
Jonathan.
Yes.
How do you beat a vampire at poker?
How?
Raise the stakes.